Hey everybody, it's Dan speaking. So in today's video, we're going to talk to you about what I would do if I was 26 again.
So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Hello, hope you're well today. So I was thinking about this. I'm 49 now, and I know I don't look it. He hopes. going back to the age of 26, I was looking at some of the demographics at both podcasting and on YouTube. And I was just looking at what the age group was. And one of the big age groups that we get a lot of listeners on are men, in particular. Age between 26 and 35, I would say. Apologise for the sunlight. We live in Spain. We have this thing called sun here. And at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, it's right in my eyes. Anyway, so a lot of our people, listeners, YouTube viewers and so on, between the ages of 26 and 35, and I remember being 26, and it took me 6 years really to buy my first property. You know, I started at age 20 looking around. I started sharing some of my ideas. Everybody told me I was wrong. People tried to protect me, so to speak, from making a dreadful mistake. Don't do this, I'm just trying to protect you. All the advice I got was pretty much wrong. I learned very early on not to listen to other people, by the way. Here I am telling you what to do. but the other people were telling me not to do stuff, and that it was high risk, and that I shouldn't do this and I shouldn't do that, and you'll do this and you'll get this wrong and you'll make this mistake and the world will end and all this kind of stuff. Okay, and so it took me 6 years to actually buy my first property. But if I was going to go back to the age of 26 now, and obviously, you know, the situation is different, my first house was £40,000, 42 and a half grand it was. You know, finding a house like that now is fairly impossible, I would say. So things are slightly different now. But what I would be doing if I was 26, first of all, I'd be getting as skilled. I'd definitely be in sales again. I'd be as skilled as possible. I would be listening to every motivational book. Back in those days, it would have been Jim Rohn, and then eventually it would have been Tony Robbins and so on. I would have done UPW way earlier. I would have walked on burning hot coals. I would have broken arrows with my throat. I would have moved myself into a position where my network was buying properties and investing in businesses and understanding marketing and getting better at sales. I'd be asking the best sales guys, why are you so good at sales? What are you doing that I'm not? And I'd be learning, and I'd be asking to follow them during their sales meetings and so on. So I'd be really looking at what can I do to improve myself. Because before you start investing, like, you've got to start earning more money. You know, if you're only on £25,000 a year now, how much money out of that can you actually invest? Let's say that 20 grand has to go on living costs. You've only got 5 grand left, and then you've got tax, so you've got really 3 grand left. Whereas if you're on 50 grand, now suddenly, yeah, you're spending 20, but now you've got 30, you're going to lose some in tax, so you're going to lose, I don't know, 12 grand, say. Now you've got £18,000 a year. That's one house every year you could start buying. So before you start investing, you really need to start investing in yourself and your own abilities and your own skill sets and your own knowledge and experience and behaviours and values and all the things that make up the conscious self and the unconscious self. It's an eggshell, and it consists of things like values and behaviours and experiences and skill sets and attitudes and belief systems and so on. We learn all this through NLP, and that's the other thing I would do. I would have hit the NLP stuff way earlier. And all of this would have been about me having an opportunity to generate absolutely as much cash as I can, and obviously pay the tax, because the cash that you can generate, that's what's going to be directly related to you being able to escape the rat race. Now, the first time I retired, I was 30. I had more income coming in than I had outgoings going out. I was desperate to leave work. I went from 15 grand to 100 grand from the age of 26 to 30. So I'd already, you know, I actually did what I'm telling you right now. You know, this is not made up stuff that I would do any different. The only thing that I would do differently is I would have stopped the nights out. I mean, I went out every night. We were on the hunt for the opposite sex and for beer looking for good times, and I would probably cut back on that. You know, I'd cut back from 5 nights a week down to 2, maybe. But because, you know, you're 26 to 30, prime of your life, before the wife comes along, then the kids come along, and so on. So that's what I would do. I would really focus on me first. Now, what happens when you've done all that, then you're starting to invest? Well, I think the first bit is you've got to get yourself out of work. That's really the key. And that could be through buying stocks and shares. That's okay. That's not a problem. Living off the dividends on that. You know, you buy it through an ISA. You can spend £20,000 a year now, more or less, into an ISA that's tax-free. And then anything that you get back out of that is just pure tax-free gain. So I would really focus on that. And I would also move some money into a pension. I mean, we're talking minimum £300, ideally £500 a month into a pension. And just leave that and park it, never see it again, never touch it. But take advantage of all these tax-free things. But the key for me would be to find a way so that you can actually leave work. And really, that's what I did again. Again, we're not saying anything that we haven't done or anything, but we just make it up. This is exactly what I did. The first time I retired, I was just about to turn 30. I left working at Dell on £100,000 a year, Dell Computers. I bought this beautiful Porsche 911 for £43,500. Beautiful car that was. And then I went travelling for a month. Then I came back. Then I realised half my properties were empty because the managing agent wasn't managing them properly. Then I started my own lettings agency and moved into business. And that, you know, that was fine. So we're not telling you anything that we didn't do ourselves. But I didn't need the money from the lettings agency, although we got it and it was nice, and that went into more investment. But I think, you know, if you're 26 now, give yourself 4 years to get out of work in some way. Save as much money as you can, move that into assets that's going to pay you monthly. That's why I went into property. And then as you're getting older, you've then got a couple of things I actually did wrong. So one of them was I carried a lot of credit card debt and loans, and it was wrong. And I really got bitten on the arse on that, because when the shit comes, and the shit is coming, folks, if you've not had it yet, look at you, you've got this experience to look forward to. The shit is going to hit the fan. And when it did hit the fan, I mean, we had kids abducted, didn't know where they were. We had horrific court appearances, 36 appearances in 8 years. Just little old me up against barristers and solicitors. I sacked off my solicitor because they were shit. But, you know, you're going to have this big thing that's going to come and it's going to knock you for six. Carrying a lot of debt when that happens, you're not in a great position. You want to be in a position so that when the shit comes along, you actually financially are able to not, you don't have to work. I mean, I was unable to work in those periods of time. The levels of anxiety and the pure unfairness of it, something I'm still very angry about even today, you know. Police officers, social services, school teachers, lying bastards, a lot of them. But I was fortunate that I was in a relatively decent place financially. I didn't need to work, but we still didn't pay mortgages and that kind of thing. So all the money went on solicitors at the time before we sacked them off. And then we're trying, you know, it took us 10 years to climb out of that hole. It took a long time. And it's because we were too heavy on the debt. And it's not good debt, it's bad debt. I don't mean mortgages, I mean things like, what do I mean? I mean things like credit cards, loans, car loans, stuff like that. We didn't keep up to date with council tax and Empower, electricity bills and so on. So one of the things that I would highly suggest for you is, I don't mind you getting into debt. I think debt is a useful vehicle to help you get to where you want to get to. But what I have got an issue with is getting into debt to buy shit that, you know, that you shouldn't be paying for. Like cars, houses, not houses, cars, phones, clothes, holidays, nights out. Just, you know, bad debt basically. What we would call consumer debt, credit cards and loans. Unless you're using that stuff to actually buy some more assets that's going to generate cash flow, you shouldn't be spending that money on that stuff. You've got to get yourself to a stage where you are as debt-free as you possibly can. And once you're as debt-free as you possibly can, you know, then you start moving money over into long-term assets. Like, the best way of paying down credit cards is not to get into credit card debt. Absolutely the best way forward. And when you think, well, it's fine, what I'll do is I'll just pay it off in a year, it never happens. Like, the amount of discipline that has to go into being able to do that, you, honestly, you simply won't have that yet. Like, the amount of discipline, I'm 50 this year, actually, and the amount of discipline for me is difficult. When you're 25, 26, 27, late 20s, early 30s, honestly, you're a better, I was going to say a man, but you might be female as well, but you're a better person than I at doing that, because I think that's really, really difficult for you to do. And so the best way to deal with consumer debt is actually not get into consumer debt at all.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.